So beautiful to be here today on our fourth full day of swimming Rohatsu session together. In person and people joining us on Zoom cloud set of space. Wondering how you're feeling. Today and tomorrow to go. I know for myself that often day three is the hardest day. I wonder what your experience has been. Somehow the body aches somehow become satiated and they don't linger for me so much in the day four. And somehow the confusion of getting myself where I need to be at the right time also seems to have dissipated. Maybe because the rhythm of our schedule is becoming more, I've entered the stream and the stream is now taking. So I hope that as we move into today, the fullness of today, the fullness of tomorrow, that there'll be some ease that carries you on that screen. And there'll be some opportunity for settling and sinking in and being right where you are. So when I talked on Monday, I brought up the Shiki. So these are guidelines, or sometimes people call them rules or strong recommendations for how we as individuals can conduct ourselves together during session and practice period. And one thing that's in the Shiki that I didn't talk about or emphasize was unnecessary speech. And I remember the first time I went to a yoga silent retreat. I complained to someone, a friend here in my neighborhood, oh, I'm going to the silent retreat, but I don't really need to be silent. I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't know what good it will be. I'm happy with not talking to people. and spending time alone, being in my garden. But she encouraged me to consider it as something that would be positive going into it. And what I found when I came out of it, what I appreciated was that people weren't talking to me. Not that there was this a rule about me not talking to them, but other people were observing this shared agreement to not talk to each other if it wasn't in prescribed hours or during the class or providing instruction to someone. And what I realized that afforded was it afforded me more time to be in my own brain and not in somebody else's brain or conversation or space. So I'm still, you know, in that space with all these other yogis, and I'm in this space with all of you. But as we consider these last 2 days, I will offer to you that this is an opportunity to give each other some more space, to give each other some more room to be working with our own field of practice in this precious container of Rohatsu Sesshin that we have embarked on practicing together. And if you're like me, by tomorrow afternoon, you'll kind of be giddy and you'll be looking around and laughing and giggling with each other and that kind of thing. I hope that that happens. But even then, kind of hold it down, because some other people may still need the quiet. You may still need to be held in the softness of the practice that we're creating together, the space we're creating together. So, keeping with that, I'd like to just reread one of those poems that I shared yesterday when we had our deep listening and selecting game of trying to figure out whose gender was what and what was ancient and what was new. So we'll go back to the ancient. Or if you hadn't heard it before yesterday, it's new. For years I couldn't sleep. Most nights I'd thrown off the covers and take long runs through the dark. Nothing helped. My sisters and brothers, when sleepless nights come to tear you into little pieces, rise to meet the day as a tree rises to meet the axe, as a scalp bows down to meet the blade, as sparks from a dying fire reach out to meet the darkness, as all our bones someday fall softly down to meet earth. When you stand, send your roots down between the stones. I love that one. When you stand, send your roots down between the stones. When you walk, walk like a proud skeleton walking to its grave. I added the proud. When you lie down like a blown out candle being put back into a drawer. Now, some folks, they easily fall asleep anywhere and sleep deeply. But some of us have challenges with sleeping. As much as we like, or as soundly as we like, or that sort of thing. But isn't that a kind of a sweet idea to imagine just blowing out the candle and being tucked into a drawer for the night, nice and safe. And the morning comes to open the door and rise. My sisters, sit like you are dead already. So I mentioned that Sojin said, how do we leave home without leaving home? How do we become or experience renunciation while living in the world? Maybe this aspect that she's asking us about sitting like you're already dead is to sort of realize that, well, you're already dead. We're all going to pass. And so to detangle those electric vibrations that are keeping us from settling into the now, into this moment, just pretend. You're not dead. Just pretend, though. Oh, okay, I don't have to move. I don't have to talk to anybody. I can open up all my senses. But I know my senses aren't always true in their perceptions. So I'm not going to get too caught up in that. Oh, what else is there? What's in that vast field of practice? Is the cow right outside the window? Or is my ox over there in the far edge of the field enjoying the flowers? Happy ox, or makes me happy? Makes me happy over there. Makes me happy that there are some flowers. I can just sit here. I don't have to go over to the flowers. I can just sit here with the whole scene. How could this world possibly give you what you're looking for when it's so busy falling apart? So I humbly and heartfelt hope that you haven't heard any news this week. The news is awful. It was awful last week. When we leave, the news will be awful, and we will meet it. But right now, be in the field of practice. Let me read that. How could this world possibly give you what you're looking for when it's so busy falling apart? Just like you. So, I find almost every day there's something that happens where I'm challenged. And so maybe that's analogous to like falling apart. Until I figure out how to put the parts back together. Now we're all falling apart, I assume. You're all humans with me. Warm bodies. There's heartbreak. Longing, regret, difficult decisions to make. But our teacher here, our Acharya, she says, look closely. Don't move until you see it. So that's the koan. How do we not move? How do we stay still? We use this phrase, until we see it. But maybe it's until we be it. Maybe it's until we're completely present to it without fighting it. Not challenged by it anymore. The great thing about the world and the great thing about each of you is that when things fall apart, when the pieces fall apart, things come back together again. You put them back together again in a new way. They don't fit the same way again. And so in that change, in that ephemeral quality of our lives, of our experiences, nothing's really ever broken. I feel if I can believe that's true, it can give me the courage to leave this container of sashin unsacked. But while I'm in sashin, I'm going to really support what it is in me that allows me to sit quietly and have a big field of practice. So I can take that big field of practice into the world on Saturday. So I'd like to also share with you a bit of writing from a living woman teacher. Her name is Shundo Aoyama. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly. She's currently 90 years old. And when she wrote this essay, I think she was in her 80s. But she's really talking about our current lives. Here she is, this person who's been practicing largely in a monastery since she was 16. And she's considered one of the few fully recognized daioshos, great teachers of Soto Zen. So here we get to that, you know, we have our lineage and we do all the daioshos, and right now they're all men in our lineage, and our chayas are all women. She's a daiosho, so this is really going to confuse people in the future. Yay! How shall we burn our life force? 30 years have passed since I was ordained as a monk. The ancient Chinese Zen master Mao Zedong said, though I have been loafing around for 30 years, I haven't ever lacked for salt and soy sauce. She says, my own life has not been such loafing around in awakening. I've been loafing around in delusions and dreams, but somehow I have been allowed to walk the way. 30 years ago, when I was a very new monk, I was always last in line after all the senior monks. One day, one of them asked our teacher a question, and she replied, a monk's mouth is like an oven. Since I was only 16 years old, I understood the phrase as simply saying that monks have to eat everything without expressing like and dislike. So I didn't pay particular attention to the exchange and just thought, what a funny question it was. Recently, this expression popped up in my mind quite suddenly, and I suddenly realized that a monk's mouth is not literally the mouth on my face. This mouth is my very life, and many different kinds of food come into it through my life. This mouth is the whole universe, including heaven and earth. A monk's mouth is like an oven. One day, not long ago, I received a phone call from a former tea ceremony student who hadn't called for a very long time. Her voice was urgent. Sensei, my husband has died of cancer. The memorial service is just over, and I wanted to hear your voice. Not long after, I received a phone call from a childhood friend who told me that her son, a university student, had committed suicide. These calls made me think about all the kinds of firewood that leap into the oven of our life, even if we want to reject them. A husband's death, a son's death, our own death, all these logs go in, and how should we burn this firewood? An oven does not discriminate between fancy firewood and thorns. It accepts everything without preference and transforms it into thermal energy to cook rice or to heat bath water. Pleasure and sadness, failure and success, love and hatred, all different kinds of firewood come into the oven of our lives. How can we go about accepting and burning them all, transforming them into the energy of our lives? If we complain and become sulky, our lives become smoky, and we cannot burn anything. And when we become smoky, we disturb others. A poem I found in a newspaper echoes my thoughts. This is the poem. A wastebasket accepts everything, even the waste paper of my unintentional mistakes. It accepts without complaint. Well, that's quite forgiving, isn't it? That's very helpful. So I was thinking about sometimes, frequently, especially when you're initially in practice like this, what do you have to work with, to think about? You have your history. And so we go down that road, and it's a really hard, bumpy road, because mostly what we see are the mistakes or the heartache or the challenges. But Roshi asks us to acknowledge that's part of the firewood just going in. There's no discrimination. And once it's burnt up, once we've had the time to look really closely at that stuff, you might not need to look at it again. That's why I love our purification chant. All my endless twisted karma, for beginning this hate, greed, and delusion, born through body, speech, and mind, I now fully avow. I'm acknowledging it, I'm owning it, but it is there. I am here. Right? There's no guilt. There's just what is. Responsibility. Responsibility for what comes next. Where are my next footfall goes. Where your next footfall goes. What the next thing you say is to someone. What the next expression you offer might be. A wastebasket not only accepts everything quietly, it also reclaims everything so it can all be returned to the world. This wastebasket is the same as the mouth of the universe. This is the spirit of the oven that embraces both happiness and unhappiness, loss and gain, and is one with the fundamental source that gives us life and death. This is the Buddha's life itself. This is your life. You Buddha. You Buddha. Buddha. It's your life, Buddha. I'll close this talk with a reflection she offers at the end of the essay. We need to fling away the looking glass that reflects our egocentric view and entrust our whole body and mind to the greatness of nature. Then we will smell the perfume of plum blossoms blooming bravely in the cold wind. And we will hear the quiet palpitation of spring under muddy water and the delightful sounds of grass and trees swaying in a thunderstorm. Thank you for listening.
Oh, my ancient twisted karma, from beginningless greed, hate, and delusion, born through body, speech, and mind, I now fully avow all my ancient twisted karma. From beginningless greed, hate, and delusion, born through body, speech, and mind, I now fully avow.
What's next?
Was in.
Yay!